This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Beijing recently made U.S. poultry shipments eligible for exemptions from extra tariffs on, and poultry shipments to China are on the rise. A Reuters article points out that the additional tariff relief may give China a greater ability to follow through on promises to buy significantly more American agricultural goods as part of the Phase 1 trade deal. U.S. chicken producer Tyson Foods says its chicken shipments are already rising as a result. China had said last month it would grant exemptions on retaliatory duties to 696 U.S. goods as part of its efforts to ease the trade war between the two largest economies in the world. Jim Sumner, president of the U.S. Poultry and Egg Export Council, says U.S. poultry was not eligible for the exemptions until last week. Quote, "We're now getting the product into the country without any retaliatory tariffs," Sumner says. Global meat and poultry suppliers are competing for sales to China, where African swine fever outbreak has trimmed the hog herd by more than 40%, raising the need for protein imports. Beijing removed almost a five-year ban on U.S. poultry imports back in November, which U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says would mean an additional $1 billion in shipments to China every year. Quote, "We're now on a level playing field with other poultry suppliers to China," Sumner adds. In other livestock news, the National Pork Producers Council elected new officers and board members during their National Pork Industry Forum in Kansas City last week. Howard Roth, a pig farmer from Wisconsin, was elected as the new NPPC president. He's a fifth-generation farmer who owns Roth Feeder Pigs. In addition to serving on the NPPC board for 8 years, he previously was a member of the Wisconsin Pork Association Board of Directors and is currently the chair of the association's Swine Health Committee. Roth takes over from David Herring, a North Carolina farmer, who now becomes the NPPC immediate past president and chairman of the council's Trade and Nominating Committee. Jen Sorensen is the new NPPC president-elect. For the past 9 years, she's been with Iowa Select Farms, a business that markets more than 5 million hogs a year. Sorensen was previously the communications director for the Iowa pork producers. Terry Walters of Pipestone, Minnesota, is the new NPPC vice president. He's involved with the Minnesota and South Dakota Pork Producers Group, the Pipestone County Pork Producers, the National Pork Board, and chairs the Animal Health Food Security Policy Committee. So all of the head honchos in the Pork Producers Council all have high marks in the pork industry. Also happening at the last bit of February, the 2020 Commodity Classic set a recent record for the number of farmers attending the event. The total number of farmers who registered for the event was just over 4,600. That's the highest number the show's had in 24 years, which is as long as the show's gone on. That was more than 83 farmers more than the previous record of 4,595 set in New Orleans during the 2016 Classic. The 9,350 total registrations were second only to 2016. The 2020 Commodity Classic, which was in San Antonio, was jam-packed with dozens of educational sessions, a huge trade show that featured almost 400 exhibitors, a keynote address from Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, as well as policy meetings of the sponsoring commodity organizations. The Commodity Classic will celebrate its silver anniversary as it makes its return to San Antonio next year, March 4th through 6th, 2021. The Classic was first established in 1996 and is America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused educational and agricultural experience. The Commodity Classic is presented every year by the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers Association, National Association of Wheat Growers, National Sorghum Producers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. In other news now here from the country, the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives is optimistic that the Internal Revenue Service officials will adjust the Section 199A tax break, thanks to testimony from the Treasury Secretary. For more than 2 years, farmer cooperatives have been working to re-implement a tax deduction comparable to what they received before the 2017 tax law was passed. Last summer, the Treasury Department proposed rules that would limit the Section 199A deduction to patronage income. However, the Treasury rule would then eliminate cooperatives' ability to combine non-patronage income as part of the calculations for the tax deduction. The tax challenge came to light in early 2018 after it had first appeared in the 2017 tax law that would make it much more lucrative for farmers to sell grain to a cooperative rather than private grain companies. Congress fixed the provision, but the Treasury Department has been bogged down since then trying to complete a rule that would go into fix the tax to go along with the tax fix. Because of the complex agreement that Congress had passed, cooperatives got a special break under Section 199A because they couldn't take advantage of the new lower corporate tax. The final deal was supposed to then reinstate a tax break that cooperatives had been using before the 2017 tax law. Moving on now into Midwestern Ag News. Midwestern lawmakers last Thursday introduced legislation to overhaul the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers process for managing water resources projects along the lower Missouri River. Senators from Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska introduced the bill to establish a new program that would require the Corps of Engineers to implement a system-wide approach to water development projects to reduce flood risks and improve flood protection along the lower Missouri River, which saw devastating flooding last year. Iowa Republican Joni Ernst says, quote, "As evidenced by the recurring flooding in the lower basin, the current approach is not working." Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt says the bill gives the Corps of Engineers the, quote, "ability to develop a comprehensive system plan to better design and build critical flood control projects that will do a better job of protecting people and property." The lawmakers say the proposal provides greater efficiencies and streamlining with regard to how the Corps plans for another and manages the Missouri River water resource development during a major flood. Projects are intended to be completed from inception to completion rather than beginning and stopping in the middle of the project. 6:35 here on your Monday morning. Let's take a look at local ag news here. Coming up on Saturday of this week, the 14th, the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Farmers Committee will be holding a used tire drive at Carlinville Truck Equipment on University Street in Carlinville. Adam Emery is the vice chairman of the Young Farmer Committee, and he explains how the idea for the tire drive came about and also the requirements for this upcoming weekend's drive.
We saw it as a good way to reach out to the community and really help the farming community as a whole, allowing farmers to safely dispose of their tires rather than, you know, throwing them in the ditch or burning them or something like that. We allow the opportunity for them to take them to us, and we will dispose of them properly, and they'll get ground up into chips for a playground or something like that. And it's just a good way to help the community out. It's for tires 13 to 20 inches off the rim. Each person can only bring 20 tires to the drive. There'll be a $1 per tire charge. Since we're a Macoupin County Farm Bureau organization, we're going to try to keep it Macoupin County to better serve people in our county. The tire drive will be held at Carlinville Truck Equipment on 2086-8 University Street in Carlinville, which is also CTMI is another name for that place. It'll be held there at, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can contact me, Adam Emery, at 1-217-473-1641. We're really appreciative to our sponsors for this tire drive that make this possible, especially Carlinville Truck Equipment for hosting this event. Also, Century 21 down in Gillespie with John Griffel heading that, and Lou's Automotive here in Carlinville, M&M Service, and Macoupin County Farm Bureau, and lastly, PJ's Tire. All of these sponsors either hosted the event or donated $100 in order to help us put on this event, because it's a really expensive cost for us to recycle these tires. We're only charging you guys a dollar, but it's costing us quite a little bit more. We'll be recycling roughly 1,000 tires on Saturday, and just to help clean up the neighborhood. And again, that will be on March 14th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Carnival Truck Equipment in Carnival.
And again, that was Adam Emery, the vice chairman for the Macoupin County Young Farmers Committee. And if you'd like to find the full interview about their upcoming tire drive, you can find that on our website, WSMIRadio.com. In other local news, Aaron Kistner of Witt was selected as the district FFA proficiency winner in Ag Communications this past Wednesday, the 4th, in Sullivan. Garrett Shockey also competed in the district judging in fire safety. Both are members of the Hillsboro FFA chapter and were previously chosen as their chapter and section winners in their areas. Illinois FFA recognizes students in 50 different areas based on their work-based learning, known as a Supervised Agricultural Experience, or SAE. FFA members select areas of interest and keep detailed records on hours and type of work they complete in each area. Both of the members of Hillsboro were the Section 19 winner in their area back in February and moved on to district competition last Wednesday in Sullivan, where they were interviewed by a panel of judges. Aaron will now move on to the state FFA award selection at the U of I in Champaign coming up on Saturday, March 21st. And moving on to our Ag Community Bulletin Board, a pop-up workshop will be scheduled to be held tomorrow, March 10th, from 5:30 until 7 in the evening at the Montgomery County Extension Office. There is no charge to attend, but today is probably your last day to register to be at the event. Registration can be completed online at extension.illinois.edu or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941. And one last bit of news here, just kind of a neat tidbit I saw from the Farmer's Almanac. This year, coming up on Thursday the 19th, will be the earliest spring equinox for the first time in 24 years. It'll be the earliest one. Traditionally, we celebrate the first day of spring on March 20th or 21st, but this year it'll be even earlier. That's something that hasn't happened since 1896, and even with a leap day, it's still earlier this year. This year, spring will be 92 days, summer will be 93 days, and generally, about the year 3500, it'll be at its minimum value for spring, which will be 88 days, but hopefully we won't be around by the year 3500, so we won't have to worry about that, Randy.
So, I don't look for it.
I don't either.
Yes.
And one other thing, over the weekend, talking with my grandpa, things about moon phases coming into spring, moon phases. You put your corner post in the light of the moon, it'll heave. You put it in the dark of the moon, it won't heave.
Oh, I'll remember that.
That was something that Grandpa talked about. You put your fence posts in, or if you put a fence post in the light of the moon, you won't have enough dirt. You put it in the dark of the moon, you'll have more dirt than the post hole will take. Just that knowledge that
somebody ought to write a book about all that.
I know.
Yeah.
Some things in farming that you lose over the years people,
you know,
old wives' tales.
Well, nobody puts in much fence anymore.
Mm-mm. Not a lot of livestock. And the one about it rains on Easter Sunday, it'll rain for the next seven Sundays things like that. And I think last year it didn't matter if it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It rained every day.
That's about right.
So we'll see what happens this year. All right, Randy.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yep.